Monday, December 26th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, this is not so much a news day, but let's make it a good news day. For indeed, as we celebrate Christmas, the festive dynamic of the holiday, it is a good news day. Harry, as we consider holidays in the Christian calendar, Easter and Christmas are the high water marks. With Easter, there's a certain somberness that turns into joy as we celebrate the resurrection. Christmas, however, is just full of festivities and joy and excitement. I have two questions related to Christmas, and they seemingly contradict one another. Let me ask you the first, why is Christmas such a joyful holiday?
I think, Tom, the reason is you can see it in the setting of the very first Christmas. God was silent for 400 years as he prepared the seed of Abraham to become more than a family, but to become a nation, as they were under the bondage and affliction of the Egyptians. And he did so for 400 plus years as he matured them, as he multiplied them, and as then he mobilized them to bring them to the promised land. The last canonical book was Malachi. Now, God was silent for 400 years, but he wasn't silent about the 400 years. In the minor prophets and in Daniel, he had given the scope of what was going to happen in the movement of empires and in the movement of history, which is what prophecy is. It's pre-written history. And God, who is over all of history and sovereign in prophecy, is just pre-writing history for us. And he gives us what's going to happen during those 400 years. And then comes divine revelation. The light comes into the darkness and God speaks. As God brings forth divine revelation, he does so through four angels that he sends from the throne, as the angel that comes to Zechariah to let him know that a providential, miraculous blessing, that they who are barren are now going to bear a child, who, by the way, in the first word spoken by God, it is stated that this child they're going to bear is the fulfillment of the last thing that God said in the book of Malachi, that before the day of the Lord would come one in the spirit of Elijah, who would turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their father. And Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to bring forth John the Baptist. Then the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary to let her know and to call her to the joy that she is the appointed mother of the Messiah. And then the angel speaks to Joseph. Then the angels speak to the shepherds on the night of his birth. And there's a constant theme that runs through all of these four angelic messages. The first one is, don't fear, and the second one is, rejoice, for your salvation has come. The light has come to the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it, because here comes the Savior. And Tom, unmistakably, in the incarnation, we are being pointed to the reason for the joy. Is the one being born was born to die for our sins. Emmanuel, God, is now with us. God is not only over human history, God now enters into human history. The Messiah, Son of God, Son of Man, who becomes one of us, who will go to the cross in place of us, who will rise, and when he rises, we rise, and who is now ascended and preparing a place for us. Joy to the world, the Lord who saves his people from their sins has now come. And so it becomes this glorious occasion and festive moment of joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come, and his blessing will extend as far as the curse is found. Where is the curse found? Throughout the world, through all of humanity. Where is salvation going? Throughout all the world, throughout all of humanity. And God's grace wins the victory in and through the triumph of Christ. And Tom, can't you see the incarnation pointing us to the death of Christ, the crucifixion? Where will you find the baby? You'll find the baby in a manger. What is a manger? It's a stone trough for feeding of cattle. And there will come a time 33 years later that Jesus will go to the cross and be laid again in a stone trough within a tomb. And you see the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, and there will come a time 33 years later where you'll go into that stone tomb, and there the Savior will be wrapped in linen cloths again. And on the eighth day he is circumcised. The drops of blood that fall from circumcision are falling from the one who will become our circumcision as he cuts away our sin record, Christ our circumcision, because of his shed blood that redeems us from our sins with his atoning death. And here come the down and outers, the Jewish shepherds receive salvation, the up and inners, the wise men, the counselors, the kingmakers from the east arrive, the Gentiles. And what do they bring? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Thankfully, the gold will fund a poor carpenter and his wife as they seek exile in Egypt in the fulfillment of Scripture and then return to Nazareth. But there is the frankincense and myrrh. These are regal gifts that are also used in burial. The incarnation is pointing you to the triumphant crucifixion, whereby Christ redeems us from our sins by the grace of God and to the glory of God.
Well, let me ask you my second question, and it sort of contradicts what my first question was about, joy. That is, why do so many people then become depressed at this holiday? Even Christians fight depression.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons. Depression comes upon the unbeliever because the secular holiday that is developed in the context of the celebration of the birth of Christ brings in all of the inventions of secularism. They just don't deliver. You go to the parties and you just find out, guess what? That night of revelry just didn't deliver. It may have brought momentary exhilaration, but there's nothing of depth and substance and gravitas to it. Secondly, because of the way Christmas is celebrated out of secularism, there is a manufactured nostalgia. The Santa Claus moments and everything. As you get older, you try to repeat the nostalgia, and it's just emptiness. Or, because of the brokenness of sin in this world, you can't repeat the nostalgia. As friends and others have died and moved on, you're trying to recreate something that was really a myth to begin with. But then there's the fact, as you just said, that Christians can fall into depression. And that's those moments where we gladly remember the blessings of celebrating a Christ-centered Christmas, but the people and the events are not in place as they were. All right, in that moment, realize you're putting your focus on the celebration and not the celebrated one, Christ himself. Remember, every time you celebrate a biblical truth, it is a truth that comes from history and time and space. But don't simply rejoice in the celebration. Celebrate the joy of Christ. And I believe that's the key. Then when you miss those who are no longer with you, which for believers is usually the source of most depression, because of the passing of time and the curse of sin yet in this world, that we are now delivered but not yet in the fulfillment of eternity, just remind yourself of two things. Look back. Christ came, went to the cross, you were saved, and all of those whom you can't put your hands on right now are kept in the hand of Christ. And the best is yet to come. Christianity is rooted in time and space and history. But our best days are never in the past. It's always in the future. So rejoice in the fulfillment of their joy and anticipate the joy that we will have together in Christ. The best is yet to come.
As we close out for today, let me remind you that on Fridays, we do a special feature entitled Ask the Pastor. This is your chance to write to Harry asking questions concerning what do the Scriptures mean and questions concerning the issues of life and how the Scriptures address those issues. Write to Harry at askthepastor@briarwood.org. By the way, this week we will be playing catch-up. We've got a number of questions in, so we will be featuring the Ask the Pastor segment a couple of times this holiday week. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.